Hello? Hello? Rebel Command? Rebel Command, are you there? Have we broken through the jamming? Attention all groups! This is Admiral Akbar with your Armada advice. As tournament season is on us, and about to restart immediately after Worlds for Star Wars games, one of your priorities should be to keep up on the latest tournament rules and FAQs from Fantasy Flight. This can be done through social media, or checking for new threads on the Armada subreddit or FFG forums, but my favorite method is to subscribe to the FFG RSS feed, as the Empire can't monitor it as easily. Staying current on the latest rules will not only make your tournament experience better, but everyone else there as well. Assume attack coordinates, and may the Force be with you.
At last we will deal with these rebel scum. You may fire when ready.
Welcome, Commanders, to the 15th episode of Fire When Ready, a Star Wars Armada podcast. I'm Jim. Well, it's been a while, hasn't it? And just like when the Daily Show goes on break, it seems like everything happens right then. So let's review what I've been away for. We've had Wave 3 announcements, Wave 4 announcements, the fleet building contest, and the Corellian campaign leak? I'm not really sure what to call that. Of course, now we've got an official article, but it was still weird. As a slightly grumbly aside, I'm sad to see that Armada still isn't getting regular releases. I was hoping that Wave 3 and then Wave 4 were going to be the start of smaller but more frequent releases, but the new article saying that they'll both be coming out in August puts the lie to that. Those aren't separate waves, FFG. They're one release. It'll have been about 8 months since Wave 2 when both of those come out. Are we going to have to wait another 6 to 8 for another two-ship release? I understand that X-Wing is basically printing money for you, but it's hard to sustain a player base's interest in a game when it doesn't feel like it's being supported. Okay, rant over. Let's get to the good stuff. First of all, like the Admiral said, check out the latest rules updates. In particular, they changed the scoring so it caps out at 400 MOV, and there's no 5-5 anymore. Buys are now 8 points, and the you already beat them tiebreaker has been removed, so it's just straight MOV now. As for the new ships, I've already talked a bit about the Gazanti, and now I'm just going to touch on the stuff that's been spoiled for the rest very briefly. I and others at my store have already begun proxying transports in our lists, and they live up to being real game changers. A note for those who'd like to do the same, Nebulons have approximately the same fire arcs and are the right size base for proxies. Flying transports is a dance between keeping them in range to be effective and far enough away to use their evade defense. As far as upgrades go, Agent Callus does work on a dedicated anti-fighter raider, but really shines on an ISD that is both able to chuck out a lot of dice and is likely to be a high priority target for ace bombers. Torin Farr is nice on a transport, but slap her on a ship that's going to be in the midst of your formation and let the rerolls flow. She's great for getting ion cannon crits, and at the very least, she rerolls most anti-squadron barrages. Jamming fields come in handy in light to no squadron lists. Repair crews are trickier than you'd think to get working due to when they fire off, and don't take them on a transport you're going to use for squadron control, obviously. Bomber command centers are also real game changers, but run into that issue of, if you're close enough to use them, you're probably close enough that evades aren't going to help your transport, so one accuracy is all it takes to put the hurt on them. Of the Wave 4 ships, the real biggie is the Interdictor, in my opinion. It has good firepower, beefy abilities, and so much engineering. It is pretty costly on its own, though, so putting something like Projection Experts on it is going to be a fairly big chunk of your fleet points, though it may be worth it. And the Imperials get a lot of speed and deployment control tools, which will make that demolisher worse in mirror matchups, and better against Rebel fleets as they can't get away as easily. Navigate commands are going to be crucial in future Rebel fleets. With the Liberty, I've seen a lot of players talking about how Rebels just got their own Star Destroyer, but I think that's wrong. Rebels just got a bigger Nebulon. It hits really hard out the front, less so out the sides, and those sides are very vulnerable. Plus, it has a double brace. It's going to work really well as part of a firing line, and that double turbo laser slot has the potential to be huge. Plus, a large ship with double brace and single redirect might reduce the number of XI-7s you'll see in your meta, leading to a resurgence in advanced projectors. The upgrades here are no slouch, with a lot of squadron boosting and harder hits. Medical Team is a favorite of mine after taking so many of those crits on my Defiances, and Fire Control Team will make MC-30s and Gladiators hit like trucks. Just remember that the MS-1 Ion Cannon isn't a counter to ECMs. They take effect after the ECM is exhausted to negate an accuracy, so you have to set up a shot with them, or use them against things like intel officers or the Interdictor's various abilities. Finally, I'm really excited about the campaign coming up. There's been some excellent spoilers put out, like Sienna Ree and Shara Bay, plus Dagger and Rogue Squadrons. Now, I'm about to start up another Armada League next month, and I'm a little annoyed because I was planning on having transports in my hands by then. New objectives are going to be opening up the competitive field wide open for the next cycle of tournaments, too. There's also going to be armed and unarmed space stations now, and I'm curious if those are going to be worked into the existing objectives with an FAQ. Here's my predictions for the remainder of the Rebel squadrons. Sadly, the X-Wing ace will not be Thane Kyrell to match Sienna, but Biggs will be welcome. I'm going to say he's going to come with a super escort or a damage transference power. The Y-Wings will be Gold Squadron, I'm going to say with Pops as the ace. While Green Squadron would be a solid pick for the A-Wings and would thematically work with Shara Bay, I'm going to guess that we're going to get a Rebels show tie-in and get Phoenix Squadron. I'm not familiar enough with the rest of the expanded universe to make other picks, though I hope that Nash Windrider from Lost Stars is the TIE fighter ace. And I'm going to be closing out this opening with a little shout out to a new game store that opened up in Bothell, Washington, Zulu's Games. They have a nice setup for card and board games and put a lot of effort into making their shop look really good, like a fantasy tavern. There's a kitchen for ordering snacks, drinks, a very nice patio area, and they're putting in a bar very soon. They have a decent space for X-Wing games, but to run Armada, I'd have to take up most of their store just to fit 10 players, so I'm waiting to see how things pan out with their future X-Wing game ideas. Sadly, they just got hit in the fire that took out some historic buildings in downtown Bothell, so if you're a local and want to spend a nice afternoon playing games and ordering refreshments, go check them out. They're open for business, and they really need the help. After the break, we're going to go back to objectives with Fire Lanes.
When Jim wants to play Armada, he heads down to Round the Table in Lynnwood, Washington. They have board games, a friendly and helpful staff, food, ice cream, and a rotating selection of beer and ciders, so you can loosen up and fly casual. Thursdays are X-Wing and Armada night, so come on down for a glass and a game and say hello. Find out more at www.rttgamepub.com.
We're back, and let's talk Fire Lanes. Fire Lanes is a great choice to put in a tournament list due to scoring extra VPs and maximizing your MOV. It gives you the ability to control the flow of the battle, but doesn't completely tie you down to a location like Contested Outpost. When should you put it in your list? Fire Lanes works well in lists with longer ranged firepower, so that you're not tethered as much to the token locations. Ships like Star Destroyers, MC-80s, and Assault Frigates work well with it, but you can also get some mileage out of using a more disposable ship, like a CR-90 or Raider, one that you can more or less park at the token while your heavier ships go out and lay waste, or you can get really risky with an armed transport. Basically, I recommend taking it in a list that has at least one long-range focus ship, where at least one other arc than the front has two red dice, since you'll need to turn while in battle, so a Nebulon probably won't cut the mustard here. Obviously, a lot of Rebel lists like this mission due to strong side arcs. How do you use it? First of all, remember that you place the tokens before fleets are deployed, so you'll be telegraphing your setup if you put them all in the same place. Putting all of them in the same place is convenient and allows you to get tokens quick and early, but it's also an all-or-nothing gambit. If and when your opponent gets into position to contest them, all the tokens go away, or even worse, shift over to them. Of course, not putting them all in the same place means not getting as many tokens, and adds more places you have to contest. If you've got a heavy-hitting fleet of big bruisers, you probably don't want to split them, since you're likely very slow and not able to turn well enough to keep them in your hands. However, you can and should split them in certain situations. One that I can think of right off the top of my head is if you have at least one fast vessel and your opponent has only bigger, slower ships. Then you can put one near their edge in the opposite corner from where you put the other two. If they put one of theirs on that token, they're splitting their forces and won't bring as much into the main fight by the two tokens, and hopefully you can overwhelm that smaller force fairly quickly. If they don't, you can send your smaller, cheaper vessel to snag it and score more points, while not losing much from the fight yourself. Where to place them is a little tricky. Rebel broadside lists will want to put them off to the side to let your side arcs hit them while you maneuver into position past them. More front-heavy lists, like Star Destroyers, may want them placed more forwards, which gives more dice in the front arcs to control them, but also it makes them easier to contest. Be cautious of running them over, though. A better position for them would be between two of your ships to force the enemy to come at you into your guns.
Be careful of being outflanked by faster ships, though. Once you've placed them and are off to the races, careful navigation is going to be your friend. Don't forget that you automatically give the points to your opponent if one of your ships or squadrons overlaps an objective, so give those tokens some space. Then, at some point, you're going to need to decide when to flip the switch from objectives first to wiping out the enemy fleet as it comes charging in on you. This will take practice and experience. Just keep in mind that you'll score more points by destroying ships than taking tokens, typically. Now, enemy swarm lists are an exception to this, but blasting them to bits is done in the name of survival, so there you go. Now, the tokens are just the icing on your MOV cake. Let your arcs take care of the tokens on their own. Wrecking your opponent's fleet not only removes the number of dice that they can contest with, but also keeps them from knocking your ships out, which lowers the number of dice you can use to contest them. So, really, kill them all. Just be prepared to score a lot early, and then get into a slugfest partway through. If you're ready for that, you're ready for fire lanes. And as one last bit of advice, if you're defending against bombers with your own fighters, don't put those fighters in the front arc of your ships when that ship is moving close to any tokens. Typically, the best place for a bomber to be is in the front arc of a ship so that it gets bumped along, so you'll probably want to engage them there with your own fighters to stop them. But if you put your own squadrons in the path of your ship, when your opponent gets to place those overlapped fighters, they can just put one of your own fighters on top of those close-by tokens and give them the points automatically if you can't move your squadron off it before the end of the round. When should you choose it from your opponent? Fire lanes is a good pick for lists that are built around getting into a fight and kicking your opponent's turbo lasers down their intake vents. Your opponent is going to score a bunch of VPs early, so you need to get in there and start taking them away at the end of a firing arc, and do it as fast as possible. If you're comfortable with this, and other choices are too maneuverable for you, fire lanes is a great pick. Lists with Imperial Star Destroyers in them are great for this. With speed 3 and heavy firepower, you can get in and contest the tokens while bringing destruction to your opponent's ships. Gladiators are no slouch either, particularly when they can move around slower ships. Just be careful not to overlap the tokens in your lust to get into black die range. Rebel lists are at a minor disadvantage as first player against fire lanes, as they don't typically want to get close enough to contest tokens and stay there. Application of your weight of firepower will be key here. I suggest focusing in on one ship at a time as much as possible to reduce incoming fire, as well as reduce the dice they can use to contest tokens. You may also want to just ignore the tokens a bit and try to table your opponents instead. However, just don't make the mistake of trying to zip in with smaller ships to contest fast or steal tokens and zip back out, as that's a recipe for getting them destroyed in a massive volley. As a rebel, you'll need to play to your list's strengths, be they broadsiding, swarming, or squadron attacks. Just keep in mind that if one of those strengths is agility, you're in for an uphill climb. Your best bet in that scenario is to hit fast and early, before the enemy can set up properly to defend the tokens. Okay, that's it for the big return episode. In 2 weeks, I'm going to break up the objective talk with some rogues and villains strategizing before the new waves drop, and then finish up the yellow objectives with Fleet Ambush. Until then, you worry about those fighters, and I'll worry about the tower. On your order, Admiral!
It's a wrap!
Fire When Ready, a Star Wars Armada podcast, can be found at www.firewhenreadypodcast.com. Talk to me online on Twitter as @ArmadaJim or by email at jim@firewhenreadypodcast.com. All celebrity voices impersonated, all rights to the spoken content of this podcast are reserved.